The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. And welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, send her an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, critiquing everyone's garden in the neighborhood, Joanne Shaw.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to Down the Garden Path. Not really at this time of year.
No, I wanted to say that. I just wanted to say I lied about that to our listeners.
Okay.
Because Joanne is not like that.
Yeah.
But she will give you great tips and advice.
That's right. That's right. That's the goal. So welcome, everyone, to Down the Garden Path. Here, where we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes every Monday evening. And as a fellow gardener, and even more so as a landscape designer, I think it's important and possible to have great gardens that are low maintenance. And this time of year, there's not a lot to talk about in the garden, so we do our best each week to bring you interesting, relevant, and helpful topics and guests that can help us with our yards and gardens and the industry and just learning lots of things about what's going around in the gardening world around us. And joining me once again is Matt Dressing, our resident horticulturalist, is joining me as co-host.
Hi, Joanne.
Hello. And I'm really excited once again to I have another wonderful guest that both Matt and I can chat with tonight. And my guest tonight is Steve Lawrence from Dare to Dream Farms in Kendall, Ontario. Believe it or not, this is Steve's third time on the show, and I'm very happy to have him back. We have a lot to talk about. Steve is a serial entrepreneur with a passion for the outdoors and nature. And a couple of years ago, he became a beekeeper after purchasing a 100-acre old tobacco farm. He has been experimenting with various products on the farm and produces a great deal of personal food on the farm. Recently, though, through social media, the wonders of social media, I discovered that Steve has a lot of interesting things going on the farm, and I wanted to have him back to hear all about it. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Thanks, Joanne and Matt. Appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I can't believe our last chat on the radio was in April of 2015, so I'm really looking forward to catching up.
I know. It seems like it was just last spring.
It does, doesn't it? You had just gotten back from Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
I know. I know, eh?
I think that was the last holiday on the farm.
Oh, gosh. Yes, that is a challenge with being a farmer, is taking a holiday, right?
I think every day on the farm is a holiday.
Oh, well, really there you go.
Good answer.
Yeah, there you go. Well, why don't you, why don't we get right to it, and why don't you, I'd love an update on your bees.
Well, you mentioned on the introduction that we've been at this for 2 years, but in reality, this is now going to be our seventh year beekeeping.
Wow.
And I was told by the bee inspector when I first started that you're not a beekeeper until you've done beekeeping for 5 years, so this will be our second year as beekeepers, even though it's really our seventh.
Right.
And the world is changing so dramatically, and it's a challenge raising bees. But at the same time, we're trying to produce a really quality product for everybody. And we've expanded into a whole bunch of different things on the farm and with our products. So, yes, we've got a really exciting year up ahead, and look forward to it.
Excellent. Now, I know, I guess that bio would have been from 2 years ago when we first met and we first got to know each other. Mm-hmm. So it's a little outdated. My apologies there.
No
but
worries.
I know that your first couple years were very challenging with the neonic situation. How have, and you know, winter coming around and spring coming around and you having lost hives, how has the health of your bees been?
So we took a different route about 3 years back. We had an 80% winter loss, which was really devastating because as a farmer, you don't take it, you take it personally. When something dies on your farm, you had to be the reason it died. You know, if your chicken dies or something dies. And in this case, we lost 80 beehives, and it was a massive loss to us. And we thought, we've got to do something different. What can we do? And we started studying and looking at across Canada what others were doing. Manitoba stores their hives inside for the winter, and so does Quebec. So we thought, wonder if that would work for us. And we did an experiment the following year where we put some beehives in a just a storage garage, basically, and they all survived. Wow. All the hives outside died, and the ones inside actually survived that winter. So we said there's something there. And then last winter, we put 35 hives to bed in the fall, and we had 100% success in the springtime. So we were definitely onto something.
Wow.
The problem is that the barn where the storage unit is became a wedding barn this summer. For my son and daughter-in-law, they got married in the barn, and we had to move the room. So we built a brand new 16 by 24, 10 foot high ceiling bee room, climate controlled bee room, where the bees are in there at 4 to 6 degrees Celsius, total darkness, HEPA filtered fresh air pumped in 24 hours a day, and it's Mother Nature's out of the question. And we now had 52 hives alive in that room. And they're doing quite well.
Excellent. Wow. I think
the challenge, we're still seeing challenges with neonics, and we don't know what's going on. This fall, I just spoke with another beekeeper the day before yesterday. Between September and December, we had some losses. We checked our beehives in September, zero mites. All the other factors that we could monitor were gone. It was down to 0% mites and was looking really good. And we had about a 15% loss between September and December. Well, I have another beekeeper friend who has 600 hives, and they've lost 200 in that same period. Same thing, strong hives, lots of honey, and no reason for the loss. And the only thing we can think of is that it was a neonic poisoning in this area. So we don't know for sure.
Right. Is that a standard time of year where they spray, or it's a neonic's
no,
not
no,
necessarily?
No, what happens with the bees is when you put them basically to bed or at the winter, the fall starts, they stop foraging on outside natural sources of food, and they move to their inside pollen stores that they've stored inside the hive. So those pollen stores might have been there from the spring. It could be any one of a number of places that they stored that pollen, not the honey. And some of the beekeepers think that pollen is where the neonics are from the actual flowers. But it's yet to be proven. It's something's happened. We don't know again.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we are doing what we can to maintain the hives until the springtime, which isn't too far away now, and we can get them back outside and rebuild and grow again.
Right. Now, is that pollen still, when you bring them from the outside inside then into your new bee room, is the pollen in there as well?
Yes. Yes, it's their winter store. So what happens is, all summer long, they collect pollen and honey and they're building up their storage for the winter. In the fall, we rob from them a portion of that honey.
Mm-hmm.
And we're quite conservative of how much we take. We want to make sure that we leave them nice and heavy for the winter. A lot of beekeepers will take all of their honey and then replace it with sugars and some of the other corn syrup and that type of thing. We like to use it all natural. So
okay.
We take the honey that we can take from them comfortably and leave them the rest. We don't touch the pollen. We're not actually using the pollen.
Wow, that's great. Okay.
Yeah.
And so the monitoring of them now, and I did see some on Facebook where you kind of have cameras watching the room and everything. It looks very, very high tech.
Yeah, so one of the things, we can't open the box. If we open the box, we'll disturb the cluster of bees. So what we use is we use a FLIR imaging camera. It's a thermal imaging camera, and it picks up where the heat is. So we can see the size of the cluster in the box, where the cluster is in the actual box, whether it's moving or not moving, and kind of get a feel for it, if it's a strong colony or not a strong colony.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's pretty high tech, but it's low tech at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. And so from all you can tell now, it's looking pretty good?
Yeah, I think the balance of this winter is going to be fine. Stuff like our weather that we're having the next 4 days for outdoor beekeepers is going to be a really big challenge, because the immunity of the bees everywhere in southern Ontario, south of Seven, is definitely a depleted immunity. So with, you know, yourself, if you're not feeling well and you get wet and moist and then get chilled, which is happening at night, we get this high humidity during the day. At nighttime, it goes well below zero, or it's below zero. You get chilled. So that back and forth is really hard on the bees. We've eliminated that problem with the room because it's that constant temperature. So they're not having to, you know, warm up, cool down. It's constant.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
And how many hives can you store in the room?
We can do about 375 in the room. It'll be packed at that point, but we're a long way away from getting to 375. It seems like a challenge. I've been trying to get to 100 since the day I started beekeeping, but it's, you know, three steps forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back. It's a back and forth challenge that hopefully the neonics are being banned in Ontario. They're banned on corn seeds and soybean seeds, and soon to be banned right across the board. And with that, we estimate it's going to be anywhere from 2 to 4 years until we see it reduced in the system. Not gone, but reduced in the system. And we should see a big bounce back of the bees, unless the other guys come up with another systemic pesticide and come up with it before that.
But yeah,
we can only do what we can do. So
yeah, and then you get your, you know, two steps forward and one step back again kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So then we'll go through the fight again and we'll look like the bad guys. And I mean, I do understand commercial farmers, and my father was a commercial farmer, so a cash crop farmer. So I completely understand, you know, the necessity for quality pest control. It's just, I think sometimes they're fed the Kool-Aid that says they have to have so much pesticide, whether they have a pest or not. And that's where our challenge has been.
Right.
You know, if they were just treating pests, then it would be different. But instead, they blanket the whole crop, whether it needs it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the half-life, it kills it.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you talk about building your hive, so you're building it from within kind of thing. It's not like you would then purchase more bees. Like, it's something like you're trying to grow it on your own.
Well, we bounce back and forth. So basically what we do is we can split hives. So in the spring, when the hive, our colonies build very, very fast. So a beehive that has a queen and maybe 20,000 bees, they go into rapid development first thing in the spring. She's laying 1,000 to 1,500 eggs a day. And that's building up extremely fast. Well, we can take that half of those frames, or take a whole bunch of eggs out of that hive, insert it into a brand new box, so to speak, a new colony, and add a queen, and that'll produce a new colony of bees. What we're finding the challenge is Ontario bees do much better than Argentinian bees or Australian bees or USA bees, because they're climatized and they were raised for our conditions. We don't see Ontario queen bees ready until at least the end of June.
Okay.
So that head start, if we want to get a head start in May, late April, early May, we need to import bees.
I see.
Import queens.
Yeah. Okay.
So, we do both. Mm-hmm. I've got mixed emotions. I mean, I always say, no, we're going to have our own Ontario bees only, and then it comes like, I feel like I'm panicked. So, okay, I'll buy some queens, do some splitting.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge.
Yeah, it definitely is a challenge. And it's so complex. Like, there's a lot to think about.
Oh,
you
huge.
Know, yeah, it really is.
And we really can't forget that our natural pollinators as well, because from the gardening perspective, natural pollination is much, much bigger than honeybees. So our natural pollinators, and we got to look after them too. So it's not just caring for the honeybees. The pesticide and the that whole system of chemicals is doing damage to the natural pollinators on a scale that we've never seen in mm-hmm. in the history. So,
and like you're talking butterflies, Matt. What else?
Butterflies, the natural bees as well.
Yes. Okay.
So the Ontario bees.
Right. Okay.
If you want to change and step onto another note, we could talk about what's happening on the farm. Get away from the
yes, we could. Well, I thought we've talked about the bees certainly. So I'm glad to know that yours are safe and sound.
Yes, thank you.
I thought we would transition to that talk about the honey since you've mentioned that.
Okay.
And I know I did some reading online, and you have award winning honey thanks to the Royal Winter Fair this past year. You won first. I read that you won first place for white and golden honey at the Royal Winter Fair, and third place for your dark.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very, very much. We're very proud of that. The Royal is kind of like if you're going to be judged by your peers, that's what we kind of feel the Royal is. So
okay.
We've entered in the Royal the last 3 years, and we've won in different categories. But this time, we kind of cleaned up at the Royal in liquid honey. So we did get first in white, first in golden, and third in dark. But we also won the overall most points in liquid honey for the Royal.
Excellent.
Which is like the top.
Yes.
Which we're so, so proud of.
Excellent.
So, yes. So that's it for, and my wife won't let me anyways, but that's it for entering in the Royal Winter Fair for honey.
Okay.
And because we've hit the mark that we wanted to hit, so next year we want to enter in the maple syrup category.
Oh, okay.
So we built the maple sugar shack this year, and we've been producing maple syrup, but on a very small scale. So now we're scaling up the maple syrup. And when we do that, we want to enter maybe in the maple syrup category.
Wonderful. Well, that's
and
good.
I'm trying. I'd love to be a judge at the Royal for the honey category.
Oh, okay.
To volunteer my time as a judge.
Yeah.
And show other people how to enter in the Royal.
Oh, that sounds like that would be fun and interesting for you to see it on the other side.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I know the stress and the, well, Patty could tell you, but the stress and the pressure of putting an entry together takes, you know, about a week to get an entry together so that it's absolutely perfect.
Right.
And have it ready and polish the jars. And there's a whole process involved to it. It's not just stick your honey in the jar.
Yeah.
You don't win based on just your flavor. There's a whole bunch of mm-hmm. Criteria in the honey, and it's stressful.
Wow. That is
and
cool.
It's nerve wracking the morning that you don't know if you won until the morning that the Royal opens. And
ooh.
The last 2 years we drove down to the Royal to check it out. And this year I did it online, and it was like every 3 seconds until the Royal posted it. And it's like, come on, post it. And finally it was like, yay. So it was great.
Well, Steve, your honey sounds delicious. So can we buy, where can we buy your honey or sample your award?
Well, we have our honey. It's in a couple of stores.
Okay.
And in the summer, it's in much more locations. You'll also be able to come out to the farm because we're in the process of a massive expansion on the farm. And we've expanded. We don't just do honey.
Okay.
We have artisan honey, of flavored honeys. We have our own homemade mustard, our Grey Poupon mustard. Ooh. Gray, spelled the Canadian way of gray. and we can't actually keep that on the shelf. It's made from organic Canadian mustard seed, and we grind the mustard seed from scratch. And that's taken off very well.
Yeah.
And you can come to the farm and do honey tasting pretty much year round.
Okay.
Although we are in a major construction way at the moment.
Excellent. Well, why don't you, we transition there then, and why don't you tell us all, because it sounds like you have a lot going on at the farm.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So we had the wedding in the summertime in August for my son and daughter-in-law, and the wedding went off absolutely phenomenal. And one of the challenges, as I said before, we had to move the bee room. And when we rebuilt the bee room, we built it in the barn beside it. Well, the bee room happened to turn out for the wedding as the chilling room for the beverages and everything else. We raised our own chicken for the wedding, and we picked the chicken up on a Wednesday from the butcher.
Oh, wow.
And it was basically 32, 33 degrees outside on the Wednesday. Well, if we had tried to keep that in coolers or kept it cool until Saturday, it would have been a disaster. Well, lo and behold, we had this bee room sitting empty that we had a chiller in it, and we were able to drop the room to 2 to 4 degrees from the Wednesday until the Saturday, which made the perfect room for keeping the meat, keeping the beverages, keeping the ice, the water, everything in there relatively cool. The caterer showed up. The caterer started doing the catering and said, I've never catered an event this easy in my life.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they were actually working out of the bee room, the chiller room, and It was perfect for them to be able to prep and do stuff when it was so hot. So we thought, you know what, this works so well. Maybe we should try some other events. And we had Guelph University this summer on the farm teach a course, a beekeeping course on the farm. Mm-mm. We've had a couple of car clubs come out and have their rallies out here. We had the Whippy seniors come out for a tour. And we had several other groups show up that were, you know, a group type events.
Mm-hmm.
We thought, you know what, maybe we should look at expanding this.
Okay.
So at the back of the barn, there turns out to be, it used to be the old processing area for the potato processing, and there's a washroom and septic. So we said, well, maybe we can make that wheelchair accessible. That's always a challenge when you know, 2 busloads of Whippy seniors showing up. They need bathrooms.
Yeah.
So the house wasn't really an option, and it's not really wheelchair accessible. So we thought, well, let's make that wheelchair accessible. And we've looked around, and we get so many people that want to see inside a beehive. They want to see it. They want to smell it. They want to see what's going on with these bees that are in trouble. So we thought, well, why don't we set up it as a bee tour? So Patty and I looked at a couple places in Ontario and looked on the web, and there were places that had these bee tours where you can actually go through a screened area. On one side is the beekeeper with the smoker and holding up the frames, and you can see and find the queen and actually smell and look and see the frames and the beekeeper at work while you're behind the safety of a screen. And that just so happens to work absolutely perfect where our honey house is, because there's an old door there that we can leave the bee tour and enter into the store or the honey house area.
Okay.
We've been at it for now 3 years, developing a machine to make honey sticks. Do you know what they are, Joanne?
Are they like the little wax, like I think of like a tube, like a little wax tube with honey in it? Is that what?
Yeah, it's not a wax tube. It's actually it's like a drinking straw, plastic drinking straw.
Okay.
Full of honey and sealed on both ends.
Okay.
And what you do is you put it in your mouth and you click it open, and you can put it in your tea to stir it. It'll run out of your tea, into your tea. Kids' snacks, if you're a runner, if you need a quick burst of energy, grab one out of your purse or in your desk, you'll have a honey stick. So they are currently available, but if you see them anywhere, they're made in Oregon in the U.S.
Okay.
By one company. They've been making them since 1990. They make billions a year on these things, billions of sticks a year. And so we started developing a machine about 2 years ago for that, and we're very deep into the machine.
Okay.
But we hit a roadblock where we couldn't get it to click open. And that's been the same roadblock that everybody that's tried to do this since 1990 has faced. Well, I'm very, very proud to say that in October, we figured out how to get them to click open.
Oh.
So that's when we started the process, and we've gone into a major expansion on the farm that's going to incorporate the accessible washrooms, the bee tours, and you're going to be able to look into the honey processing area, which is now an expansion of about 1,800 square feet. So that honey processing area will be to be able to process and pack honey sticks, 600 a minute is what we'll be able to produce.
Really?
As well as our honey Dijon mustard, some other products that we're developing, lip balms, and all the other products that you can get from honey. So that's the construction issue going on the farm at the moment.
Wow.
So April 1st is our grand reopening for the farm.
Okay.
We formed a new company over Christmas. I'm really happy that my son Tyler and his bride and our daughter-in-law Lindy is going to be full-time on the farm, and she's going to be in charge of business development, production manager, look after operations. and be kind of the one that's running the operation here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Congratulations to Lindy. So what is that? Is there a new company? Because I know even social media-wise, you're kind of on there as Dare to Dream and Sweet Dream Honey. So
Sweet Dream Foods will be the name for the honey products now.
Okay.
And under that banner, there will be, you know, Sweet Lips, Grey Poupon Mustard, and the other ones.
Okay. Hello? Yeah. Yeah. No, we're both, Matt and I are like, we're so excited for you. We're both fanatically writing things down. So that is wonderful. I'm going to pause you for 1 second because we actually have an email question, Steve. Peter has written in and he's saying, you know, Happy New Year and hoping, but he has a question for you and it says, is it true that Ontario is or will be experiencing a honey shortage?
I would say Ontario already is in a honey shortage.
Okay.
I know around here we have a challenge with the drought last year. Mm. And I raised this question early in the summer with somebody that said, you know, we're so dry. Is it going to affect the honey crop? And a couple of beekeepers said, no, dry summer, lots of honey.
Right.
Well, by the end of the summer, it had been so dry that our honey crop was way down. It was down by about 40% of the previous year's honey for that number of hives.
Wow.
So yeah, the drought, less nectar, less honey.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the drought affected the whole all of us in the industry. Like, you know, regardless of what part you were in,
you got it.
You never know how long it's going to last, and nobody thinks it was going to last that long or thought it would get that bad.
Yeah, our pond was down 5 feet from its regular water level, and all of our neighbors are having water issues.
Yes.
Knock on wood. One of the things, if there are bee honey producers on this radio show, is that we are looking at entering into contracts with fellow beekeepers because we really, we're going to stay Canadian honey no matter what.
Oh, wonderful.
But we need traceability for our honey. So every honey stick will have a number on the honey stick.
Okay.
And when you go online to canadasweetsticks.com and you enter the number, it's going to say, welcome back stick number. You were produced at, here's the flowers you were on. Here's where you were produced, the time that was produced, the packaging requirements, to really give the traceability for food. Because we find more and more people want to know where their food comes from.
Absolutely.
Where was it produced and the quality. So we're looking for other beekeepers to enter into contracts with for the upcoming season if they want to produce honey for us.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that hopefully we can spread the word then for you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because that is great. So it's not just Ontario, Canadian. Other provinces.
The challenge is I don't think we can get, just like the emailer wrote in, Peter that wrote in, I don't think we'll get enough honey. We'll be able to grab enough honey to supply the Canada Sweet Sticks market.
Okay. So you need help.
Yeah. The other thing we're going to do with the sticks, and I didn't mention this, is we're going to be packing something extremely Canadian that's never been done in those sticks before. And that's maple syrup.
Excellent.
That's
good. Now, when you were here in April of 2015 or online with me, you were just figuring out which trees to tap and which area. I can remember you talking about that.
Right.
So now I'm assuming you've had a couple years under your belt now.
So we've got it's about a 27-acre bush that we work in. It's not actually on the farm. It's a partnership we have. And this summer we had woofers, and if you don't know what that is, I can explain that as well. But we had woofers and myself build a maple sugar shack with 16 by 24, 16-foot ceilings, and put a big evaporator in the shack. So that was done this summer in about a 3-week period.
Okay.
So that's really exciting, too, that we're actually, instead of producing 20 liters of maple syrup a day, we can now produce 30 liters an hour.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. Very exciting.
Oh, and now...
And quality. We've become very fussy about maple syrup. So
okay.
We don't... Costco maple syrup and some of the other maple syrups have an issue that we feel the flavor profile is gone.
Okay.
Because part of the processing that they do with the maple syrup. So we've really determined that we're not going to do that part of the process.
Oh, that's interesting. Because they do advertise their maple syrup as Canadian.
Yeah, it is Canadian.
Yeah.
The issue with commercially produced maple syrup, large volume commercially produced is they use a reverse osmosis machine. So do you know what that is?
I don't know. Do you know, Matt?
Okay, so reverse osmosis was designed, I think, by Canadians, and it was designed to take sewage water, contaminated water, and you take this dirty, dirty water, and you push it against the filter. And the filter is really a super, super fine filter. The only thing that comes through the filter is the water itself.
Okay.
All of the bad stuff stays behind. So when you hear Dasani water is reverse osmosis, that's what it is. They took water and pounded it against this filter. What came out the other side was pure water.
Okay.
Well, the guys in Quebec, the Lapierre boys and the big syrup producers in Quebec looked at this technology and said, what happens if we pound sap against this filter?
Okay.
Water comes out the other side and sugar stays on this side. So we can reduce our boiling time greatly if we get rid of the water, because that's what you're doing is you're just boiling
right.
off the water.
Yes. Okay.
So they've figured out that if they can go to 40-50% removal rate, they can boil what used to take hours to do a volume of syrup, they can now do in, say, 20 minutes with these machines.
Okay. Nice.
What we feel is the flavor profile comes from the cooking of the syrup.
Mm-hmm.
The cooking of the sap is where you get that real, we have, you know, stuff that we've cooked extra long, and it really gives it a smoky quality flavor. Well, that sap that's really had to work to get all of the water out of it.
Right.
And it's a different flavor profile. And anybody that's done tasting on the farm will all agree, like, you know what, that Costco Kirkland syrup is good, but it doesn't compare to this one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so. That is interesting. Yeah, it's like they're trying to rush the process, like rush. Think of like winemaking or anything like that. I mean, sometimes it is the slow part of it that really makes up for a quality product.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we've kind of committed that we are not going to go reverse osmosis.
Okay.
We may produce less syrup. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But we're gonna produce a better product.
Okay. And we have somebody else. Tom just wrote in saying he wanted to say what a very informative and interesting show. And you folks really educate us laymen about great things in gardening and nature. I look forward to visiting Steve's farm. So that's great. That was from Tom.
Fantastic.
So as far as food processing, will there be any animal process? Like, are you looking at the animal end of the farm, or are we?
We want to have I don't want to call it the petting area, but we really want to teach people to know where your food comes from.
Mm, yeah.
So you know, you're going to see the chickens, the free range chickens, and the turkey, and the lamb, and the sheep, and the goat, and the calf. But it's really not about. We're not going to sell those meat products at all.
Okay.
It's really just to educate the consumers and something for the kids to see.
Right.
You know, when you come out from the city and you actually, you know, we've got about 7 kilometers of trails on the farm. We've got a just a beautiful farm to be able to come and walk and enjoy and spend the day. And we always say the farm wasn't built for us. It was built for everybody.
Right.
So we don't expect you to come and, you know, dump all your cash at the farm. That'd be nice. But
yes.
It's really about coming out and spending your time and enjoying nature at its best.
Okay. Well, that is wonderful. And so are you promoting, like, how will our listeners find out about the events and the different things that are happening at the farm?
So if you follow our Facebook page right now, you'll be able to follow the construction that's going on.
Right.
You'll get to see the concrete getting poured day after tomorrow.
Okay. Okay.
But it's, yeah, and then if you follow that, and then you can email us or jump on the Facebook page and just make a comment, and we'll make sure that you're part of our newsletters.
Okay.
And we're going to try and start newsletters February. This is all kind of coming so fast.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
April 1st is going to be here like no tomorrow. So
yeah.
Our goal is to open April 1st. June 10th, I don't know if you know what Doors Open Ontario is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doors Open Ontario. We are one of the featured sites for Doors Open Ontario. Kendall is the Clarington's choice this year for Doors Open Ontario, and they want to use our farm as one of the major stops.
Wonderful.
For Doors Open Ontario.
You needed one more thing to plan for, right?
Well, you know, we'll already be ready because it's April 1st.
Yes.
And then June 10th is, well, that's the test drive is April 1st. And then June 10th, we'll be ready.
Yeah.
And then we want to do bee tours like on the weekends all summer long.
All summer long. Well, that's wonderful. Yep. So like school groups or garden groups, that type of thing?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, excellent. Well, that is wonderful. I had another question. It just went right out of my head. Matt, how about you?
Yeah, we do honey tasting on the farm as well.
Okay.
Honey maple syrup tasting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of it because a lot of people don't realize the different flavors. We're one of the few beekeepers that takes it off based on the season. So we take off an early season honey, a mid-season honey, and then a fall honey. And that's where you get your light honey, your golden honey, and your dark honey.
Okay.
Yeah, light honey is from the milkweed and the early spring basswood trees and linwood trees and that kind of thing. And then the golden honey is more the goldenrod and some of those other weeds and mustards that are around. And dark honey is the buckwheats in the fall. I call it swamp honey. It's my favorite, but it's the darkest, boldest honey.
And Steve, I had a question about the maple syrup. What trees, types of trees do you tap for the maple syrup?
What size?
What different types or species do you tap?
You know what? I'm really bad at knowing my different maple trees. I just try and avoid tapping oak and hickory.
Okay.
and that might sound funny, but when we bought the farm, there was no leaves on the trees. And I'm pretty good with trees, but I mean, I'd never seen a hickory tree before. So the forest consultant that came into our farm said to him, make sure you mark every tree that I can tap, because this horse looks pretty good. And he said, well, I hope you got a really good drill bit. And I said, well, what do you mean a drill bit? And he said, those trees are going to be pretty hard. I said, why? And he goes, and the sap is going to be really bitter.
Oh, geez.
And I said, why? And he said, you got a hickory bush here.
Oh.
And red oak. I'm like, okay, never mind. So the bush that we actually do work in is about 80% maple trees, and they're mainly the sugar maple.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
So there's black maple. There's quite a number of maple trees.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, and it's not on site. You have another property, right?
Yeah, it's about 8 minutes away.
Oh,
yeah.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, nice and handy.
Excellent. So the best place for people to get your honey and maple syrup is obviously visiting you in the farm. And more in the GTA, you said there are some stores that are carrying it?
So Terran's Wellness in Orno carries it. Okay. In Newtonville, Newtonville Convenience carries it. Link Greenhouses in Bowmanville, she's closed right now for the season.
Okay.
She does carry it. In the summertime, Harvest of Providence of Harvest, she does a lot of farmers markets in the city.
Oh, okay.
And she carries our products, so she's got it all the time.
Excellent.
And then several other people have picked it up, and they have. We don't actually know where it always is.
Yeah,
they'll come out of here with several cases and then take it to the city.
Yeah, for sure. Now, are you doing farmers markets, or is that just you want people to come to you?
No, no, it's not that I value my weekend. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you.
Yeah, no.
We get a lot of work done on the weekend. We're going to do the bee tours on the farm, so I won't have time to leave here and go to the farmers markets on the weekends.
Okay.
We have other people. We kind of cross market with other people that carry our product in the farmers markets. They'll have their vegetables and honey, or their vegetables and maple syrup and honey, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The big push for us will be the honey sticks.
Okay.
Okay.
And so right now when we see those, they are coming from the U.S. So you're going to be, there are no other producers in Canada that are producing them?
If they click open, they're from the U.S.
Okay.
If they don't click open at all, then somebody made them by hand in their kitchen.
Oh, okay.
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 So there's nobody commercially producing them outside of Eugene, Oregon.
I see. Okay. But now you will. So excellent.
Yes, we're finished the machine. Well, we're going to get the concrete floor in. The whole food processing plant will be to Canadian Food Inspection Agency standards.
Okay.
So white walls, white ceiling, super clean floor with drains.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen is the sticks will be produced in there. That gives us the ability to pack third-party packing. So on the farm, you can produce your own product and sell your own product. But as soon as you pack somebody else's product, you need to be under the Canadian Food Inspection Agency's standards.
All right.
So we hold ourselves to a very high standards. They were already here before we started, and they said that we had the cleanest honey house that they've seen on their tours in Ontario.
Wow.
And to me, it was dirty. and I'm not a clean freak, but to me, it just, I was expecting them to come in with white gloves or something.
I see.
Oh, no. Honey houses can have dirt floors and it's okay. And I'm like, not when we're finished, it won't.
So your newsletter sounds important. So why don't you tell our listeners how they can email you to get on the newsletter?
There's a good question.
No, I know.
Yeah. If you go to Facebook and look up Sweet Dream Honey.
Okay.
Or Dare Number 2 Dream Farm.
Okay.
That's probably the easiest.
All right.
I think you can also do, you could send it to an email to Lindy Lawrence. At Sweet Dream Food. No. Lindy Lawrence. I'll have to look it up.
Okay. All
Facebook
right. Well, you can. Yeah,
story.
You can. It would definitely. So it's Dare to Dream Farms with the number 2. And
yep.
which I love because my down to earth with the number 2. So I'm definitely.
Yes.
And sweetdreamhoney.com.
Yep.
So those are
yes.
both places that you can get into contact with Steve and Lindy.
Absolutely.
And to get on the newsletter so that you can find out all about what's happening. And I'm excited about this April 1st opening. So what's happening April 1st? That's when tours kick off.
April 1st, we should be, one of my philosophies is when we first moved to the farm, I said, Labor Day weekend, this was 2013, we're going to have an open house.
Okay.
And we bought a farm that the doors are falling off and mm-hmm. buildings were collapsing and it looked terrible. So that was, we bought it in December 2012, December 2012, September 2013 was the Labor Day opening.
Okay.
And we had about 400 people here on the Saturday and about 300 people here on the Sunday and we were ready. So I've got a strong philosophy. If you set the date,
mm-hmm.
and you shoot for it, you've got to get it done. It's not going to drag behind. So
absolutely.
April 1st, you'll be able to see the bees inside a beehive.
Okay.
You'll be able to see the honey processing area. Sorry to say, you'll never see the honey stick machine working because that's behind a curtain that you'll never, ever see.
Yeah, proprietary, understandable. Yeah.
You'll see them being packed because we are going to be packing them in packs of 5s and 10s.
Okay.
For work and stuff. You'll do honey tasting. The accessible washrooms will be built and usable. We're going to have lots of displays, of kids' displays. We want to have a big, well, I probably shouldn't even mention this, but we've really talked about having a huge Dino Dig sandbox.
Oh, okay.
So the kids can get in and get dirty and dig stuff up.
Yeah.
I think it's so important to bring kids back to it.
Yes.
And then we're hoping to have some farm animals here, some young baby farm animals. So
excellent.
Really something for the whole family to be able to come and enjoy,
mm-hmm.
And check out and yeah.
Yeah. We really need to inspire the next generation. You know, they need to get,
sure.
and not even the children. I'm thinking like the younger people who are having those children who are also, you know, grown up in the city and aren't as familiar. It's mm-hmm. a huge demographic that I think is growing, tied with the whole growing your own food and knowing where your plants are coming from. So
absolutely.
It's a whole generation of people. I know
yeah,
with I my clients.
That, I think that's why
yeah.
your show is so important too, mm-hmm. that, you know,
thank
to
you.
Teach people that they can produce your own product.
Yes.
And they can produce stuff that they know where it come from.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know? Now, are you growing plant like flowers and plants at all to support the bees?
Yes.
Okay.
So last year I've got I call it my bee playground. It's about 5 acres altogether that
ooh,
I play with.
Exciting.
5 to 6 acres. And it started out as goldenrod and milkweed, and we went up and harvested the milkweed and spread the pods around and made sure that we really got it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took about 3 acres and planted in San Juan, alfalfa, Huia, and all the different clovers. And these are clovers that are supposed to be very, very good for bees, and a yellow sweet clover.
Okay.
So we planted that. And then last year we planted about an acre of sunflowers.
Mm, very good.
And everybody says, well, why would you put sunflowers in? You can't get honey from sunflowers. There's no nectar. There is actually no nectar, but there's a lot of pollen. So it's great for building up the strength of the hive.
Okay. Now, would they change the flavor at all to the... no.
Well, no, we don't eat the pollen.
Okay.
So, but the sunflower... pollen is extremely good for producing more and more babies.
Oh, okay.
So it really, it gives us an increased boost in numbers of the bees. Excellent. Our issue is we had the drought, so we don't irrigate, and we don't use any pesticides or chemicals on the farm.
Right.
We had the drought, so our sunflowers got about 2 feet tall, and then blossomed, and all these heads, and it was really cool. It, you got right down on the ground to take a picture. It looked like a beautiful field of sunflowers.
That's
You had to be a miniature to look at it.
That's
so
right. That's right. Oh,
and
I know.
And then they wilted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely a tough year for even the flower farmers. I know we've had another guest and someone else I follow on social media as a flower farmer. And, you know, just the drought and the ponds just drying up. Even if you did irrigate from a pond, you know.
You lost the pond. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
They said it's the worst. The water table is the lowest it's been since 1939.
Wow. That is incredible.
Which is a challenge.
Yeah. So are you going to look at doing an irrigation pond at all, or?
We have large ponds on the farm.
Okay.
No, we won't irrigate that.
No.
I mean, we have to take Mother Nature for the cards she plays.
Mm. Well,
you know, if she plays certain cards and we get a sunflower crop that's the small sunflower crop, well, that's what was meant to be.
Yeah.
So we'll take what we get. What was interesting is the farmer that come in to cut her hay called me in the morning and he said, "What in the heck did you plant in your field?" And I said, "Why?" And I said, he said, "I have never seen anything like this. There's two deer on one side. There's some pheasants in here, turkeys in here. I'm watching bunnies go flying out of there. What is that stuff that you planted?" Well, it's because it's such mixed clovers that all the wildlife seemed to find it, and they thought they were at the Mandarin, I think, doing the buffet thing.
Yeah, you had a smorgasbord, so that's what you planted, a smorgasbord of clover. You have to put up a sign that says that. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, this year, what... probably shouldn't say this to, I don't know if there's any farmers online, but I do have, I bought at the auction, and this might really sound strange, I bought two honey cans. If you remember when you were a kid, you got honey in a can. I bought two cans full of seeds, and the seeds are globe thistle.
Oh.
So I'm going to be planting some globe thistle, but I know the farmers don't like that, but the globe thistle gives such beautiful honey. And is very, very nectar rich
right.
for a globe thistle. So
yeah,
that's going to go in.
And then once you have it, it stays around, right? It's a bit more of
right.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. And we want to plant. I'd like to plant some brown Oriental mustard as well.
So
like a 45-day flowering rate. That would be really good. And we planted blue weed last year, a whole ton of blue weed, more weeds, but Viper bugloss.
Okay.
Which is a phenomenal honey if you can get it in enough to collect the honey from
right.
it. So, but it's really good for the bees.
Okay. And obviously you're finding quality seed, right? That's not also contaminated with.
Well, we harvest the seed off. In the case of the Viper bugloss, we had a load of gravel brought in. And lo and behold, the gravel that they brought in, a crop of Viper bugloss took off in it. So it was, wow, okay. So we harvested the seeds from the gravel pile. And that's where we actually got the seeds, was right from that gravel pile. So there's nothing in that.
Okay.
Yeah, and the same with the globe thistle. So that's from another beekeeper, and that was from an auction.
Okay.
And he had collected the seed from
himself.
Different globe thistle plants.
Yeah, yeah. And that is something that definitely, I think, social media, I think, has also been very good for the industry on spreading the word and informing people of and helping that whole knowing where your food is grown and the challenges for all the pollinators. I think that has definitely a great resource.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that, you know, one of the industry is not regulated, and the flower industry isn't regulated about how much pesticide they use because it's not a food.
Right.
So I'm hoping that, you know, some of those people see the light as well and understand that when they use a pesticide on flowers or they use a pesticide in cotton, the ramifications are much greater than just that crop and that field that they put it on. It's the water table. It's the whole system. Contaminated. So.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something people overlook is the water too. What the contaminants that they're not thinking about it.
Yeah.
They're now saying that there's areas in Ontario where the neonics are in the water system, you know, like at the mouth of the rivers. And I can't remember the river down by London area. There's a river down there, Thames River or something. and it's completely contaminated with neonics.
Wow.
Now, they're still drinking it because neonics are safe. But they're saying that, the neonics in the water table and the water system have really messed it up. So,
wow.
But you have to understand, neonicotinoids kills pests.
Right.
It doesn't say what kind of pests. So when you put it in a river or a creek or a stream, that can be the little bugs that the trout eat.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the bugs that the swallows need and the bats need.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a massive decline in bats, a massive decline in swallows, and that's because the bugs are being affected. Their food source is being affected.
Yeah, for sure.
Start taking out links in the food chain.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely, that's exactly the best way to put it right there. Yeah.
How about affecting the fish?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so the fish population is taking a massive hit as well.
But as far as the chemical in the, like I'm thinking of the fishermen that are, catching the fish.
Right. Yeah. And they don't know the long-term effects of any of that yet.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
The other issue, because it's a neurological effect, we're not sure about stuff that, like a deer that eats the corn crop that had the neonics in it, what's the neurological and the birth defects. And we've seen a massive decline in deer in the last 10, 12 years. And everybody's blaming it on the coyotes, but the coyote population is kind of stabilized and the deer haven't come back.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're not, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an avid hunter and trapper as well. So,
okay.
You know, I follow, I'm probably more into nature and wildlife than I am into farming.
Yeah. Wow. And
this
the farm is your day job? Like that's what you're doing?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Farming is the farm is pretty much full time.
Yes.
7 days a week.
Yeah.
But it's a passion. I mean,
yes.
It really is a passion.
Yes. Oh, so. You can definitely tell that by your voice, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm excited.
It's funny, most people measure weekends by how much they didn't do. We measure weekends by how much we get done.
Excellent.
So,
well,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching the progress online. Anytime you want to come back and give us an update, please let me know. The microphone is open to you because I think I love that you're local. I love that you're having an impact locally, and the more we can educate people and the more we can spread the word, it benefits all of us, you know, from the landscape designer, from the horticulturalist, you know, from the farmer. Like, I think it's really important that we spread the word to educate about our industry.
Yeah.
And,
the other challenge is stuff like the Bowmanville Zoo is now closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do when you're out in Clarington for a weekend and you're waiting for a soccer tournament or a baseball tournament, what are you going to do?
Wow.
For the day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the lady at the manager of the Holiday Inn said to me, she said, you know, the problem is they come to the desk and they say, what's to do in Clarington?
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, you know, you can go to Walmart.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same Walmart that's in their town.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
And what else can we do? So they're looking for things to do. And that's really why we said, let's do the bee tours and the farm tour and really let people see inside the hive and inside an apiary operation to see what's going on.
Wonderful. Well, that's a whole lot. The tourism, right? The ecotourism, the agritourism is a huge.
Agritourism, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge, huge thing. So bringing that to Durham, to Clarington, and that's wonderful as well. So I think that's very commendable. And I'm excited about the bee house. Was that the official name? It's a bee house or bee room?
The honey house, the viewing area, the bee tours?
We just
call it the bee tours.
Okay.
Or in the processing area.
Oh, well, where you keep them, where you're monitoring them right now.
Oh, that's the winter room.
Winter room. Okay.
Yeah.
And
we don't offer formal tours for that, but if somebody had a real serious interest and wanted to come out, we can open up. We can have you go into the bee
room. Yeah. But they can also watch online, right? You've got a camera
post
a few pics.
We post pictures online of what's going on with the bees.
Excellent. Well, that is great. So what else? So we've got the April 1st deadline and the doors open June 10th. Is there anything else?
June 10th.
And we've got your Facebook page and your website. Anything else you'd like to promote at this time?
Holy man, it's not enough.
I know. I think so. I think
promote Down the Garden Path.
Well,
Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Stay tuned to her radio.
When you've run out of other things to do and you need to start designing some gardens for the front of the house or the front of the entranceway to all these tourists, then you know who to call, right?
Well, I think we should probably have you out because we were just looking at the different pollination flowers. We've got a sheet that we're going to give everybody when they come for the tours.
Excellent.
And it would be awesome to have you come out and lay out a garden for us near the accessible washrooms.
Excellent.
Where they're annuals and perennials, but we want to just fill that garden full of them.
Oh, perfect, perfect.
That's a great idea.
And maybe we could harvest seeds in the fall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's wonderful. So, yeah, there's lots of things lots of collaboration in our industry. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you very much, Steve, for joining us once again. And good luck on all those plans. And I'm looking forward to watching and keeping an eye, as I'm sure our listeners are as well, with everything you're doing with posting on Facebook and online. So
thank you so much for your support.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And looking forward to talking to you soon.
Appreciate it.
Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Steve.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Lots of...
Are you there?
Oh, yeah, we're here. Okay. All right.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. We just said goodbye to Steve, so we learned a lot. He's got a lot happening. And if our listeners have any other questions for Steve, again, his Facebook page, if you've got questions for me about the bees and pollinators or anything like that for Matt and I, you can email me at joanne@downtoearth.ca. Happy to help and continue to inform. I know there's a lot to follow on social media about them as well, but I think it's nice to get local information. Don't you agree?
Yes. Yeah. Everything seems to be happening everywhere else, so it's nice to have something at home.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm really excited about the agritourism factor.
Yes, that's exciting.
I think that is really going to be great for Durham Region. So Kendall, Ontario, Dare to Dream Farms. Really excited. And please check out their pictures. I think it's kind of cool to see those nighttime. It's very kind of sci-fi-ish to see the sleeping bees in their hives and the heat markings and stuff like that. So it's very cool, Gary.
Very informative, actually.
Yes.
You know. And I like the idea that there is or will be a honey shortage that Steve said is actually happening now.
Yes.
So you know what that means, obviously. Prices are going to go up, right, for honey.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
But it's good to hear that, that they're doing some new and innovative things with the bee sticks and then maple syrup. We're a huge maple syrup family. So
that's cool.
Yeah. With Matt, I don't know. Is it not because you're from near where my son goes to school and none of the kids, that's one thing he has to keep replenishing for all his roommates is maple syrup.
Yeah, we have, I used to have Canadian maple syrup down there imported because I love it.
Yes.
I mean, they do have brands in America, of course, right? My father, actually, we had some maple trees and he used to extract. It's not the same.
No, for sure. So that's one of the popular things with his friends, and he always has to take a big jug back. So, so there you go. So thank you everybody for joining us on Down the Garden Path once again. I think Matt and I are going to talk about house plants next week.
Yep.
And
mine is doing well, Matt.
It is. Good. Yep. Yours is doing well.
So
stay tuned and think about your questions and curiosities. More to follow. Thanks once again for listening to us here on Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Bye for now.
You have been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.